Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, it's your girl Cy Brown, and welcome to the Cy Brown Morning Show. Thank you so much for hanging out with me every single day, well, Monday through Friday at least, on the weekdays at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have a great, great show for you today. If you receive our emails, you saw that we have a wonderful guest who's going to be sharing what it was like to be in foster care. Capri Cruz has been through a lot. I'm not going to give too much away. I'm going to let you hear it from her own words, just about the foster care system, how she's been able to prevail. So I'm so excited. Big shout out to Derek Hayes, who connected the two of us. I want to just give respect where respect is due, just to thank him, because I know I read her story, I read all about her, and I'm just excited to have her on the show. Before we get into it, I just want to share, today President Obama is addressing the United Nations, and you know I'm here in New York, so New York, you cannot drive anywhere. I went to a 6 a.m. spin class this morning, and it's just packed. You just can't move. Security's everywhere. But, you know, it's being stated right now all over the news that President Obama has opted to not meet with any heads of state while they're all here at the United Nations. And people are saying that goes against tradition. This is an election year. He's just being political, blah, 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 blah. Well, I'll tell you this. President Obama has not done what – he has not followed tradition. He has not done what other people expect of him. And so if he's able to pull this off, he has, I believe, in my heart of hearts, changed politics forever. So, you know, the jury is still out. I believe as we're going on the air right now, he's probably still giving his speech. I was watching it up to the moment we got on the air. So a lot will come of this as he's talking to specifically to Iran today at the United Nations General Assembly. So I will cover a little bit more of what's going on with the General Assembly, what his speech meant to the world leaders on tomorrow's show. But in the meantime, let me bring our guest in, just remind you that the chat room is now open. So if you would like to chat with us, please log in to Cybrown Morning Show, click on Listen Live, and you will be able to join us in the chat room and follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/ Cybrown Morning Show. On to our guest, Ms. Capri Cruz. Good morning, darling. Are you with me?
Hi, Cy. I sure am.
You're like, hi, Cy, you're just as chipper as me today. Well, I tell everybody a little bit about who you are, what you do, and then I'll get right into my questions because I have so much to ask.
Okay, well, first I just want to say I'm so excited to be speaking with you this morning. That, as
Yay.
You know, I'm from New York, so this is very touching for me because this is the first interview I've done with a radio host from New York. So, it's a very special moment for me today.
Thank
I feel
you.
A little bit closer to home. So.
Big shout out. You're always welcome here.
Thank you so much. Okay, so my name is Capri, like you said, and this book, I was spirit-led to write this book, and it's about a little girl's life, who was me, my life in foster care, which was preceded by just being born into a family of substance abusers. You know, we lived in the projects in New York City, and at the age of 7, my mother separated from my father, and that year I subsequently was put into foster care. And so this book talks about that journey and a whole lot more. It really talks about my life for 37 years at least. But more specifically, it's about the trauma that I experienced from the instability, from being physically abused both by biological parents and foster parents, and the psychological damage that does to children, you know, and then to add on, you know, a bunch of other stuff like sexual abuse and how that really affects the cognitive ability of children to grow up with a healthy mind state and how it thwarts that, you know, it stops that from happening in a lot of cases. And without the right tools and people and love, these children grow up without a real healthy identity of themselves. They grow up without understanding what self-love is. I know I did. I didn't have any self-love for a long time. I didn't know what that meant. You know, no one had introduced that concept to me. And so for me, I ended up becoming an individual that was controlled by her fear, you know, the fear that the abuse put in me, the fear of tiptoeing around and trying not to upset any of these strangers. You know, every time you move to a foster home, these are strangers. You don't know. You know, can you imagine today even having to go live with a different family every 6 months or, you know what I mean? It's like these are strange people. You're living in a strange bed. And, you know, I talk about how one of the foster sisters I had tried to kill me when I was about 8 years old. She tried to suffocate me in the middle of the night. And that, you know, created huge fear, huge. And so even today at 42 years old, you know, I haven't completely conquered that demon. There are certain things that I fear. And, you know, you're always struggling with that. And but for these foster kids today, this is what I wrote the book about, you know, what I've learned and how I've been able to conquer a lot of my own demons and learned healthy coping skills. And that's so very important. They don't have healthy coping skills. And so they grow up and sometimes we self-medicate. Sometimes we become abusive toward our partners or our children, or we commit suicide, or we, you know, there's a whole load of things that people do to try to cope with the pain. And even if you try to go out and make a family and live a healthy life, if you grew up in foster care and never learned proper coping skills and never learned what to do with those demons, you know, they don't go away. We just cover them up. We push them down. Then guess what? They show up in your adult life.
Well, can I let me ask you this? This show is not about salacious details. It's really about offering hope and healing to the guests, to myself, and to the listeners. So, you know, I don't want to, you know, start getting into sexual abuse unless that's a place you feel like going. But I want to ask you this: when you're a child in foster care, how do you wrap your brain around the fact that these people are not your biological parents? Or does it even matter? It's just that there's adults that love you. Or is that even too much for a child who's 7 years old to even understand?
It's too much for them to understand.
Right. So then even at that point, I've heard very good stories about, I mean, and I'll tell you, and I've shared on the air that my husband and I, when our children were younger, when we were living in Atlanta, we wanted to adopt a little girl. And between the ages of our two sons are almost 5 years apart. So we went through this whole process, background checks and all of these other things. And unfortunately, at the time, my husband's job changed, and he started traveling much more, and I just knew I could not deal, because at the time, my children were in middle school and his last year in elementary. I just didn't feel I was in a good place to take a foster care child or be an adoptive parent of, like, a 12-year-old girl, because of what a 12-year-old girl goes through at that point by myself. Mm-hmm. So we withdrew our application. But one thing I noticed, they checked, double-checked, triple-checked, quadruple-checked, FBI, like they did everything. So how is it, and I'm not trying to sound ignorant, how is it that they put potential foster care parents through so much and abuse still happens?
Well, I think I don't have the answer for that because I'm not an expert in that area. But I would venture to say here that each state runs their foster care system differently. It's not a national, it's not run nationally the same. And even each county has different laws. So it also depends on resources. How much money does each state have for their foster care program? How many employees? How many resources? So one state may do a really good job with the background checks, and one state may not. And also, there, you know, sometimes stuff just doesn't show up, you know, until later.
Right.
And maybe they weren't abusive parents until they had a foster child and didn't know how to handle that. And not every foster child gets abused by any means. But
right.
I wrote my book for the children, and not just children that get physically abused, because, like I just said, not all of them do. But
mm-hmm.
there's definitely, without a question, emotional trauma. I mean, you cannot deny that just being displaced from your biological family, losing connection with your siblings, if you never return to your biological family, that's one set of trauma and pain that you got to deal with. But if you do go back to your family and they still have their own issues, you know, let's say it was substance
right.
abuse family members, or they were beating the children or whatever and got removed, and a year later, supposedly, the family's supposed to have it all together now, but maybe they really don't. You know, maybe they
right.
just did enough for the legal system to say, okay, they can get their kids back. Because that's the ultimate goal of the state is family replacement. They don't want to keep these children away from their families, but sometimes the parents aren't very good parents.
Wow. And then even so, and that's, is that kind of what happened to you, where you found yourself going from one family to another family, or where you were unable to be reunited with your biological parents?
Yeah. What happened there was that my family, you know, like I said, they were substance abusers. My mother drank and my dad did drugs. And they lived in poverty. They were very poor. They were, at that time, very uneducated. And
mm-hmm.
so I was living with my mom at the time. My mom had left New York. We went down to Virginia. And she was poor. She didn't work. We lived in a basement of a house with my grandmother, and she had, like, 20 or some dogs. And, you know, just very poor people. And so I guess, you know, she just never did whatever the state said that she needed to do to get her children back. I don't know if she wasn't capable or she didn't want to.
Right.
Or, you know, it's very sad when you, you know, for me anyway, looking back at my own family. But that's part of how I healed, you know.
Right.
I had to look back at my family and say, why did this happen? Because the foster child people, this is really a human experience. This really isn't just about foster children. This is about people having inner pain, and what do you do with that? And so you have to move from the anger into compassion. If you don't
right.
move out of your pain and your anger, because anger is created from pain. It's not, you know, if you're joyful, you're not going to turn into an angry person. You're angry because there's some type of inner pain there. So until you can move into compassion and love, you're going to stay in anger, which then you stay in blame and excuses and everything that encompasses all of that kind of feeling, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I had to have compassion for my parents and forgive them.
Forgiveness is major. We hear so much about forgiveness, and, you know, T.D. Jakes has this book, Let It Go. I mean, you hear it all over the place, and that's really hard. So now, even as you're working through, as a child coming into an adult, coming into adulthood, not only are you trying to figure your own life out, but now you have to get over, if I may say, this brokenness or this
mm-hmm.
fake feeling of being incomplete or insufficient or inadequate as a child, but now people expect you to move into this adult space as a functioning adult. That's not really going to happen, is it?
No, it's not. You're completely unprepared. You haven't been taught the skills. You don't have the mental capacity. No. You're just, yeah, I was telling someone just the other day in an interview, what it is you are an adult version of that foster child. Time just keeps ticking. You become an adult physically, but mentally, if you haven't been taught the tools or you haven't healed, you're just an adult version of that foster child that's broken.
A friend of mine who, you know, I'm not going to say her name, she's actually in the chat room right now, and I forgot that she was a foster child. And she is a friend of mine, and she just posted in the chat room, as a child of foster care, I identify with your guest. At times, foster parents just got the kids for money and to say that they took in a foster child. Many of the children in care are abused. So I just sent her an invitation if she wants to call in. It's totally up to you, sweetie pie. But, you know, I want to talk about the kids maybe who are not abused. Is there, do you feel feel that they're able to navigate better? I guess I'm sure they are, right? Navigate life and become more functioning adults?
Well, this is what I believe, Sai. The physical abuse is just one aspect of it. But I think the root problem of the human spirit of the child in foster care is the identity or lack of identity that's created for them, and the root feeling of not feeling loved, feeling thrown away, feeling insulted, disrespected, all these things. But it's a lack of love. And so they grow up feeling unloved. I mean, that's it. If you feel unloved, if you feel like either your parents threw you away or they didn't love you enough to get it together to keep you, then you also grow up without self-love. And if an individual does not have self-love, all kinds of problems. It's a floodgate opening up for abusive relationships in the future, for drugs to deal with the pain. You know, all kinds of things can happen from a lack of self-love. So that's what I think the focus really is for foster kids. The physical abuse is one aspect of the experiences they may endure. Not all foster children do. Are you still there?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I'm still here. I'm so sorry. I'm trying to pull in the caller right now. Hey, beautiful, you wanted to call in and share your thoughts? We have about 10 minutes left in the show.
Hi.
Hey.
Hold on a second.
Capri, we have one of our guests who was in the chat room who I shared, so she called in. So thank you so much for calling in.
Wonderful.
Oh, great. So, good morning.
Good morning, baby.
I just want to share. I think your guest is right in saying that it is an everlasting thing that we struggle with as far as coping with a past like that of being a foster child. I think you can move on. I think there's healing in everybody. But I'm just figuring out in my adult years that I was verbally abused. So I wasn't so much physically abused by my foster parents, but there was a verbal abusing going on, so much so that I became a people pleaser. I didn't want to upset anybody. And someone said to me, well, why are you always saying sorry? Why are you always, trying to be in good graces with everybody?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, because I just don't want to upset them.
Wow.
And she said, well, where does that come from? It comes from somewhere. And as we dug a little bit deeper in therapy, I realized I was definitely verbally abused, told many times that, oh, well, you know, no one wanted you, so I took you in.
Wow, that's horrible to say to a kid. I'm sorry. That's horrible to say to a kid.
Yeah, Sai, can I offer something right here? And what she said is so important because it goes deeper into the root of the problem. It's the psychological abuse. Doesn't matter how the psychological abuse was created, whether it was from physical abuse or verbal abuse or emotional abuse or feeling displaced and abandoned, it steals away the foster child's personal power, and that's what she's experienced. She has to redevelop her own personal power. And for me, I found the only way that I could do that, because I had the same problem. I lived in a fear-induced state, was through Christ. I had to get a spiritual transformation, a subconscious and a spiritual transformation. That was the only way, me personally, I could heal.
Wow.
So I guess this is a situation where you have to really say, with Christ, all things are possible.
It's the only way I could have did it.
the only one. Wow.
Yeah, because for me, I found when I stayed Christ-centered, and that didn't happen overnight. I mean, I spent years with loving God, hating God, seeking God, loving God, hating God, wondering why me, how could this happen, all that. But once I decided, see, there's a lot of things that come into play. One, you have to decide to move from a victim state of mind to a victor. You have to say, I'm not going to be in this. I'm not going to blame and be angry. I choose to forgive. It is a decision that we make. But we have to be led somehow into understanding that, because for so many of us, just naturally, it's natural to be in a victim state because we're hurt. It's not that we're a victim because we're like, oh, feel sorry for me. We're in deep pain. But how do you triumph over that? You have to be concrete in a decision and say, through Christ, all things are possible. His word is what I'm going to follow, and this is the decision I'm going to make to become a better person.
You know, I have a question.
Sure.
The question is, what do you do when this foster parent goes to church?
Mm-hmm.
This
wow.
foster parent prays. But mm-hmm. she, I think Vaughn told me one day, there are people that could prey on you, P-R-E-Y,
mm-hmm.
and then there's people that pray for you.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a difference between the two, but it's almost like a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Sure. And this is the answer. This is the answer, sweetie. The answer is that by nature, all human beings are sinners. So our expectation, and we don't know this as a foster child, though, you know what I mean? Our expectation cannot be in the human. Our expectation has to be in Christ's word.
Jesus.
Because we're going to fail. We fail ourselves. Our parents fail us, our foster parents. People are liars and thieves and phony balonies everywhere you look. But if we're focused
that.
On, yeah, if we're focused on him and his word and what he says we are, it doesn't matter what these other people, now we have to, you know, there's a whole lot of things that have to come after that. But, I mean, it's very confusing. I mean, can you imagine being with a foster parent and now you're supposed to believe in Christ and you're in Christ's house with this person that abuses you? It causes tremendous mental confusion.
I just want to put in the chat room, it was just put, every person in church is not a Christian. And I think
yeah.
those of us
Amen.
Who go to church.
And
no.
that's the important thing. I just want to leave your show with this. This is so important people get. Our expectation cannot be in people. Don't look at people in your church and become disappointed in them. Hello, they're humans. They're sinners. That's what Christianity
right.
is all about. But I'm not here to make anyone a Christian by any means. I'm just talking about my experience. But the whole deal with Christianity is that we're all sinners. That's why Christ is
right.
the only one that's perfect. That's where our focus needs to be, not on our parents, not on the abuse, not on the people in church.
Amen
oh, I
to
definitely
that.
I believe Amen. That. I'm just trying to shed light on the fact of, you know, exactly how we really feel as foster children.
Yeah.
And as adults, we're still really trapped in that world. There's a lot of us trapped in that world.
And that's why I'm here. I want people to know you don't have to be anymore. You know, and people don't know that when they're in it. I was just talking to my brother yesterday, and he said something so powerful. He said, we're so effed up in our head after foster care forever until we figure out a way not to be. And that is the real deal of it. These kids are screwed up in the head emotionally until they figure out how not to be. So you don't have to be there forever, I promise you. You just have to decide, today's the day I'm not going to be here anymore. I'm going to figure out how to fix this for myself.
Yeah.
We have about 5 minutes left in the show, but I just wanted to say there's some things that are going on in the chat room, and TGL just put preach sister with an exclamation point. I think what was so profound that you said is, well, a lot of things that you said have touched me in an amazing way. And to my caller, thank you for calling in, because I forgot. We have shared conversations, and I totally forgot that you have been through the foster care system. So I put in the chat room that I am doing what God wants me to do with my life, and I will make this show happen as long as God wakes me up each day. It is so important for me. I could sit back and just be quiet, and Capri, let you and my caller just talk and have a healing moment to yourself, and then just let me know when I can come back in and talk. And that's what's so important. And I think it's prayer. You know, do you guys mind if I pray really quickly? Like,
no, I would love it.
Would you like to pray very quickly? We have a few minutes left on the show. Okay, go ahead. Thank you. Thank you. That's generous of you. Thank you. Capri?
I'm sorry, were you talking to me?
I was talking to you. I didn't want to put you on the spot.
No, I thought you were going to pray. Am I supposed to pray?
No, I was just asking, would you like to? I don't mind, but you're my guest,
no.
So I just wanted to extend the opportunity.
No, I would love to pray. No,
okay,
absolutely.
Good.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today and seek your refuge, Lord. We are people that are in pain. We don't know what to do with this pain. We are blind to the answers. We are surrounded by people that are selfish sometimes and that hurt us and steal from us the exact gifts that you give us to be empowered. And we ask you today, Lord, to heal every heart, to guide every person to your word, to remind us, Lord, that it is in your word, your direction, and only when we are Christ-centered that we will never get off path. Empower us, God, right now by the blood of Jesus. Please empower us to take dominion over our life. Your word says that we have dominion over our life through you. Through all things, through Christ, all things are possible, and with that belief, we will overcome. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. I want to thank everybody for listening today. And as I shared, I would be content just to sit back and just listen to you help my listeners heal. Please accept this invitation to come back at any time, because I realize now more than I did when you and I first started talking how important it is for people just to talk.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just need to hear it or hear it from somebody else to have your breakthrough or to at least start the journey toward your breakthrough, just to have someone say, damn it, I understand what you're going through.
Yeah.
Or I hear you. I can't have that same level of empathy because I haven't been there. But for you to be able to walk one of my listeners through her pain, I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, I'm good.
I got to come see you today, girl. I think I'm going to have to get a hug. I think you're going to have to hug me through this moment. I just realized how important love is and how important it is to hear from other people to help us get through whatever we're going through. And I think that's why God has me do what I do every single day, because my heart is so pure and I really want to bring, if I can, whatever healing I can just to make the world a better place for the lives that I touch, you know? And Capri, I know you feel the exact same way. We've talked and we've shared the most wonderful emails, you know? And I swear I don't get mushy on every single show. I swear I don't. I swear I really don't. But this is really powerful. Thank you all.
And it is about the human connection. And that's why the foster children are broken, because that human connection with their parents and the people that are supposed to love and care for them was broken. And the way you heal is through more human, better love, human connection, and Christ love. It's all about the human connection.
Thank you. I want to read one more thing in the chat room before we run out of time. Foster kids also feel that they owe a bit of loyalty to the parent, even through the abuse and negative relationship. They do need to pray to let go of that, because in loyalty, they never truly live, because they are focused on the foster parent, not themselves. Thank you. Thank you for saying this is a great show, TGL. Thank you very much. And to Yvonne, thank you. This is a great format. Size be obedient. Yeah, I am, because you know, I went back and forth with this for a while. But anyway, that's another show. Capri, thank you so much, my love.
Side to your guest.
Yes,
tell
baby.
Her that I would love to speak with her and just talk with her and meet her. I think that, you know, my heart is just touched by her and her bravery. And if she would like to contact me, I'm available.
Thank you.
I will. Oh, good.
Well, I will connect. I will definitely connect the two of you. Before we run out of time, I just want to tell everybody, thank you so much for listening, and I will see you all tomorrow right here at 11 a.m. It's Cy Brown Morning Show. Thanks for listening. I love you all, and I'll see you soon.
Off the air.